Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. That's an ethic that's a bit strange these days, but I do believe in absolute truth. And I don't think it should be so hard. I mean, you're sitting on purple chairs. Is that true? That's true, unless you're colorblind and you're not sure. But, you know, there are things that are absolutely true. You know, gravity is 9.62 meters per second squared straight down, and you should be grateful for it. And I'm grateful that that is an absolute that never, ever varies. It's there. Aren't you glad that every day you don't have to look at the gravity forecast? I mean, how big a shoe should I wear today? There are constants. There are things that are constant. And I tell you, we have a risen Lord and a King, and his kingdom and his reign of righteousness should be on the mainstream of pioneering what is normal and what is true. Jeff Bezos, he's the founder of Amazon.com, graduate of Princeton University. You know, many of these Ivy League universities all began as Bible schools. They're all Bible schools. I mean, Princeton was a Presbyterian Bible school. That's what it began as. But he said, he spoke at their graduation, their commencement. He said, "Cleverness is a gift, but kindness is a choice. Gifts are easy. They're given after all." And that's true. You know, each and every one of us are blessed and gifted, and every single one of us are so uniquely wonderful and significant. An incredible, wonderful, glorious thing to explore, the way God has created another individual and their uniqueness. You see, gifts are given after all. They're easy. Choices can be hard. You can seduce yourself with your gifts if you're not careful, and if you do, it'll probably be to the detriment of your choices. Tomorrow, in a very real sense, your life, the life you author from scratch on your own, begins. How will you use your gifts? What choices will you make? Will inertia be your guide? Will you follow your passions? Will you follow dogma? Will you be an original? Will you choose a life of ease? Will you choose a life of service and adventure? Will you wilt under criticism, or will you follow your convictions? Will you bluff it out when you're wrong, or will you apologize? That's a big one right there. Maybe just for me. Will you bluff it out when you're wrong, or will you apologize? Will you guard your heart against rejection, or will you act when you fall in love? Will you play it safe, or will you be a little bit swashbuckling? When it's tough, will you give up, or will you be relentless? Will you be a cynic, or will you be a builder? Will you be clever at the expense of others, or will you be kind? Be kind. That's a huge thing right there, isn't it? Be kind. What will you do? So we're talking to some very unique people here, a graduating class, and they've done something significant. We're very grateful for them, but I want to speak to them beyond just the knowledge that they've received and the information that they've packed in their heads and hearts. A couple other quotes. Albert Einstein, he said, "Try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value." Try not to become a man of success, but try to become a man of value. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite theologians, he said, "It's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It's why he does it." That's true. Why are you doing that? Why do you do what you do? You know, our lives should be to esteem others better than ourselves. Our lives should be a life of service where every day we're giving ourselves away so that others can be blessed and that God's goodness can flow through me to hurting people. William James, a philosopher, psychologist, he said, "The great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it." And that's really good. Because really, when you're done and gone, did you leave a legacy? Did you leave an imprint? Did they know you were here? Did you do something? So it's that whole aspect of living a life that will go on beyond. Now, the prayer from West Point, this would have been prayed today, and it's prayed every Sunday morning at West Point. And this is the prayer they pray. They say, "Make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. Let us never be contented with half-truth when the whole truth can be won. Endow us with the courage that is born of loyalty to all that is noble and worthy, that scorns to compromise with vice and injustice and knows no fear when right and truth are in jeopardy." Talking about truth today, what his truth today. Abraham Lincoln, he had a group of people who had done some research and studied the background on a certain circumstance and situation they had to address, and he believed they came to a faulty conclusion. He believed a lot of their research was wrong, and they were trying to convince him that this was true, but Abraham Lincoln didn't agree with their conclusions, and he said to them this. He said, "How many legs would a sheep have if you called its tail a leg?" And they quickly answered, "Five." And he said, "No, it would only be four legs. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it one." That's true, isn't it? And a lot of today we see so much relativism and so many things creeping in that, you really can begin to say, what is truth? But I'm glad to have a relationship with a living God who is absolute truth. Trivial Pursuit. Don't you love Trivial Pursuit? We played a little bit last night. We were having some fun. My wife, is she taking attendance? Doing something exciting? How many know a woman's purse is a mystery? Holy cow, Jimmy Hoffa! Does anybody know where my wife is? Does anybody? Oh, never mind. Never mind. How many like a little Trivial Pursuit? We were playing last night, and John Orshinsky is the master. I have no idea how he packs all that nonsense in his head. Where are you, John? Okay, Trivial Pursuit, People and Places on the Road Again. What is the name of the 1983 movie starring Chevy Chase that features the Griswold family going to Wally World? National Lampoon's Vacation. What classic adventure novel by Jules Verne features the wealthy Englishman who takes a wager to complete a journey? Bunch of smarty pants. What is the name of the art and science of mapping called? Now, you guys are awesome. How many would like to do some more? Maybe one more. More or less. All right. What father of music was born in Germany in 1865? David Hasselhoff. That's awesome. Who was it? No, it was Johann Sebastian Bach. Who said that? Awesome. You're going to get a cookie before you go. All right. What does PP mean when reading music? I know what it means very softly. Trivial Pursuit. Look at the word. Trivial Pursuit's a board game. Trivial means of little worth or importance. Created in 1979, it's a game which progresses to determine a player's ability in general knowledge. It's popular, very popular. The object of the game is to answer questions in six categories, peaking in 1984, 20 million games. As of 2004, 88 million games sold in 26 countries, in 17 languages, in 55 different editions. That's pretty trivial stuff right there. But there's people just sitting around, you know, bored in living rooms talking about what do they know. So I don't want this to be a class that just got some knowledge and they can be a little better in theological trivia. I want the people that literally have embodied truth know what it is to not just have the truth and knowledge, but they know what it is to have a relationship with the person who is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth." You know, when my father one time, I was watching a minister and he was sharing with some people, and one person said, "How did you know you were called into ministry? How did you know that?" And he said, "A fellow named Pastor Stanley Hammond called me out of a meeting and he prophesied over me. And what he said was, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth." My dad said, when that word was spoken over me, a prophetic word, which is just a quote of a scripture, that word penetrated my heart, and I realized that I'd been called to full-time ministry. Interesting. But what I like about this is that it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. You know what that means? Is that when you don't rightly discern or understand truth, and you cannot properly divide the word of truth, there is shame attached to that. It says, don't be ashamed. Be a worker who need not be ashamed. Be a worker who has removed yourself from shame. Be someone who rightly knows how to divide the word of truth. And it's something each of us should do. It's something each of us should desire to do. And I'm really blessed by these folks who've given themselves to time and study to say, I want to be excellent in the word of God, and I want to rightly divide the word of truth. Truth. Truth is an interesting thing. It really is. History of truth, the brief history, my history. First of all, pre-modernism, authorities and tradition establish truth. Whoever my authority figures are in my life, whatever my traditions are, that establishes truth. Now, there's much of the world is still under this whole aspect of truth. Some people, you can present them with truth, but if their tradition says whatever was just said is not truth, that authority, that tradition will supersede whatever truth is. So you have whole societies today that are under traditions and under past authorities, and they have a truth that they embrace, and they will not move from it because they are under the pre-modernism mindset that whatever my forefathers said, whatever my ancestors said, whatever tradition says, that is truth, that alone, and I'll deny anything new that comes my way because that is the way I look at truth. We stepped into modernism, and modernism said only what can be scientifically proven is truth. If science can't prove it, I don't believe it. If it can't be scientifically proved, I'll throw it out. But you know, there's many things that are truths that science hasn't embraced yet. You know, we could always fly. We could always fly, but it took a couple of preacher's kids who, against their father's wishes, his father said if God wanted us to fly, he'd have given us wings. He said to even trying to attempt to fly would be a work of the devil, but his two sons didn't pay attention, and they decided, we want to fly. And they exercised a principle that was always in existence. And you know, man could always fly, but their authorities and their traditions said it's not something to be desired or to do. So there are truths. There are things that are true today that science hasn't even seen yet. There's things in the Word of God that are true in reality, but you may not have embraced it, yet nonetheless, they are true. And then there's, sadly, postmodernism, where it's just every man for himself. I just make it up as I go along. But I thank God that as a believer, I do have a standard, and I do believe, and I can stand firmly on a foundation of absolute truth. Now, here's the problem you can have. There is absolute truth. There is an absolute revelation of the truth in God and in His Son and in by the Spirit of truth. But we would be careful to say that I know all truth. I have access to all truth. I've been given access to all truth. I am embodied by the Spirit of truth. But you see, there's a lot of times, how many have ever had to change your mind about something you thought was true? You know what? Truth never changes, but sometimes you got to catch up. And sometimes the church is so far behind, and they should be the ones who are out on the front. They should be on the bleeding edge of what is real and what is true. Sadly, we see even in some Christian circles, they would poo-poo on knowledge and you know, learning and all those kind of things. And we just want to fly by the seat of our pants and run Mach 5 in the glory of God with a broken heel, lipstick on our teeth, and a flag. Whee! You know, I think we need to be diligent. Do not be someone who is a workman who need not be ashamed, but you rightly know how to divide the word of truth. Truth. George Barna, he's a researcher. He's done a lot of research. He wrote a book recently called Virtual America. That's a lot of American statistics and things, but it slips over here, and sometimes I think we're kind of even more advanced on America as far as secularism comes. But George Barna said that 72% of Americans agree that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I am in a significant minority. 72% of Americans say that they believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say two people could divine truth in totally conflicting ways and both be correct. That's an excerpt right from their research. They said, they asked people, could two people define truth in totally conflicting ways? And people said yes. What is truth? What is truth? 71% said there are no absolute standards that apply to everybody in all situations. George Barna also discovered that 53% of those who claim that there is no such thing as absolute truth also identify themselves as born-again Christians. Page 83, Virtual America. 42% of those who identify themselves as evangelicals or as born-again Christians agree that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I think I've got your quote up there. It says, unfortunately, and this was just a good quote from the book, I found it a bit striking. He said, unfortunately, correcting people's mistaken assumptions about Bible content is made nearly impossible by their self-assurance about their beliefs. And it's true. You know, confronting deception is a very, very difficult thing. The problem is, confronting deception in people is very hard because they believe they're right. I mean, don't you want to believe you're right? I mean, I don't want to, if I'm going to step out on something, I want to believe I've got the facts. Sadly, though, sometimes people, because you believe you're right, if you don't understand that you're deceived, it's very, very hard to confront that deception because the person thinks they're right. So often it ends up in an argument where I'm right, no, I'm right, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're... Correcting people's mistaken assumptions about the Bible content is made nearly impossible by their self-assurance about their beliefs. Even if they're exposed to good Bible teaching, they typically fail to absorb that input because they think they already know it all. Amen. How many know it all today, glory to Jesus? That's when it's just about over right there. Stay green, keep growing. John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. Now, this is where Jesus now has been on trial. And the Jews know that they don't have the authority to kill him, so they scheme to take him to the Romans, and they want the Romans to crucify him. So they're doing everything they can to get Pilate, the governor, to act on their behalf to do this. And they said, he's a radical, he's a rebel, he's causing trouble. I mean, it's bad for you that this guy's around. And so they bring him to Pilate, and Pilate's like, I don't see anything wrong with this guy, but he and Pilate are having a discourse. And Pilate's like, you know, who are you? They say you're a king. Are you a king? And he said, what do you say? Are you saying that because you know that, or did somebody tell you? I love that Jesus always answered questions with questions. But this was a part of their discourse in John chapter 18, 37. He said, this is why I was born. How many think that's an important statement right there? I mean, that's Jesus himself, the Son of God, saying, this is why I was born. This is the very purpose for my existence. He said, this is why I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. To which Pilate shook his head and said, what is truth? Rhetorically, not expecting an answer, not looking for an answer, but basically saying, come on, who can know truth? What is truth? But Jesus said, I have come to bear witness to truth. I am truth. Everyone who is my friend, everyone who hears my voice and listens to me, they are people who are in truth. There is truth. And we as the people of God, if I say to you today as a group of believers in this house that you can know and walk in the very truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of the creator of all things, you can become a manifester and distributor of that truth and knowledge. What a massive statement that is. My next question should be, then why aren't we the most remarkable, most incredible, the most revelational, the most redemptive, the most powerful people in the earth to manifest the kingdom of God? Because we have been incredibly well-equipped and advantaged with this excessive, abundant, glorious knowledge. I think it's because we don't really believe it. I think it's because the next greatest event in our life is Jesus, get us out of this mess, it's getting ugly. Time for the church to rise up and be incredible influences in this day. There are people who are incredible influences in this day, and they are not hooked up with the King of Glory. They're not hooked up with the King of Kings. There are many who would renounce God and renounce him as truth, and yet they, with all of their ability and strength, are trying to do their best to just be good people. You know, we won't be just good people. We can literally be Christ in us is the hope of manifesting his glory in his kingdom in the earth. I'm sharing better than you're grunting. What is truth? The word truth in the Greek is aletheia, aletheia, and it means the unveiled reality that is at the basis of and agreeing with the appearance. It is the manifested and veritable essence of the matter. When Jesus is saying, I'm bringing truth, I am truth, I am revealing truth, I have come to be a witness of truth, he's saying, I am coming to bring reality, the essence of reality, the veritable manifestation of all that is true. I have come to bring it into revelation. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That makes Christianity a very intolerant faith. Because Jesus is saying it's very narrow, but the beautiful thing, it may be narrow, but it's really easy for the humble. It may be narrow, but it's not difficult for those who are willing to say, I trust Jesus. A two-year-old, a three-year-old, a four-year-old wants to love Jesus. It's when we get a bit older and we get a bit, you know, too smart for ourselves that we think we know better. But you know what? It's very simple. He is the door. He is the bread. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It's Jesus. And he's the only way. And it's not hard. It's only hard on Mr. or Mrs. Smarty Pants. But it's not hard on those who are willing to humble themselves and say, I need a Savior. And he is the truth. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Well, I think Jesus is a good man, but he really blew it there. I mean, that's a little uptight. His words are true. John 17, verse 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, separate them, preserve them, protect them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. Now listen to this one. This is a huge one. 1 Timothy 3:15. He's talking, he says, I want you to, you know, behave yourself in the house of God. I mean, learn to manifest the goodness, manifest kindness, manifest the nature of who you are in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. What is the pillar and the ground of truth? Princeton University, Harvard. You know the pillar and the ground of truth? The Word of God, which I believe is the inerrant, perfect Word of God. I believe in the Word of God, every bit of it. I believe the Word of God says that truth, the pillar of it, and the foundation of truth is the church. Wow. That's a massive responsibility. That's a huge responsibility. How many think that's a massive responsibility? Let's go to Luke 24, 45, 49. Now, this was Jesus, and it says, after his resurrection, I love this. Now, I was preaching this, and we had Pastor Jamie and Julie here from Montreal. I was in Montreal in their church on Sunday, and Dan was in another church last week in Montreal, and people got saved in Montreal last week. People gave their lives to Jesus, got touched in both those churches, and what a blessing. And I heard people came to Jesus here, too. Isn't that good? Pastor's away, and it was better. Truth, what is truth? Here we go. I was preaching when I was there talking about, you know, after the resurrection, there was those two guys who walked away from Jerusalem. But, I mean, Jesus, after he had such a long day, I mean, he got beat up, crucified, and everything he'd been through, he still had time to find two guys who were walking away. And he caught up with them, and it says he thoroughly revealed the scriptures to them. And then he caught up with his disciples hiding in a room, really confused about what had just happened, traumatized by the whole event of Good Friday. And here the risen Christ came and he began to speak to them and he began to minister to them. But here's what he said. Even after 3 years of teaching them day by day and walking with them and ministering to them, it says this in verse 45. It says, then he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Wow, how many would like to be at that class? Hey, how many would like to? I might have missed a few others, but I was there that day. I was there the day that Jesus thoroughly opened our minds to understand the scriptures. Did you guys have that class? Did you have the class where Jesus showed up and thoroughly opened up your minds? Second trimester, that was awesome. I mean, that's one you don't want to miss. You know, how amazing is it to have all of these seminars and all of these teachings and spend all this time with Jesus and all the places where he taught and through his ministry taught and through the miracles taught, through the healings taught, through all that he did taught. But then here we are one day terrified and fearful, wondering what is going on. And he walks in the door and he thoroughly opens our minds to understand the scriptures. How many think that's some good right there? Right there. But what I see about that, I was reading this last week and preaching on it, but what I noticed was that he thoroughly opened their minds to understand the scriptures, so they had full knowledge and revelation of the scriptures. I mean, if Jesus opens your mind, if the truth reveals all truth, you got revelation. But you see, after even opening their minds to understand all the scripture, he said later on, he said this. He said, now, behold, I will send forth to you what my Father has promised, but remain in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. But Jesus, I am spinning in revelation. My mind has been incredibly exposed to the fullness of scripture. My understanding has been miraculously opened up to understand scripture. I want to go start a school. I want to go tell everybody now all the stuff I know. And Jesus said, hold on. It's not enough even to thoroughly understand or have full revelation of scripture. Don't go. Don't move. Don't try to do a thing until you're clothed with power from on high. See, Jesus did not say, I do all the things I know about the scriptures. He said, I do only what I see the Father doing. I speak only the words that I hear the Father speaking. Jesus did not operate out of a container of knowledge. Jesus operated out of a living, abiding relationship with the Spirit of God, whereby he was able to operate in all truth and all wonder because he had a living, abiding relationship with his Father. See, we don't want to have a Bible school where we're cramming ideas into your head. We don't want you to now to take a diploma and shove it on a wall and say, aren't I so smart? I am now qualified to do this. Jesus said, even if you have a thorough understanding of all of the scriptures, don't even do a thing until you're endued with power, clothed with power from on high. That's very important. We're actually starting next week, we're going to be doing a whole series on the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We're actually partnered now with Pentecostal denominations in every single country in the world. You can go to a website called Empowered 21, and we are working toward a time where Pentecostal churches are not talking about the Holy Spirit, but we want to see every single Pentecostal believer fully empowered and endued with power from on high. And we're working together. Next year, we're going to have a powerful meeting in Canada. We're going to bring together all Pentecostal believers. We're going to do a simulcast where we want to see every Pentecostal believer fully initiated in the power of God. If it was just knowledge and a couple of good lessons that would change the world, the church should have done it a long time ago. But Jesus said, even if I've thoroughly opened your mind to understand the scriptures, do not move. Do not try to do a thing on your own until you have been clothed with the Holy Ghost. If a little do-good lesson and a bit of good advice would have changed the world, it should have happened a long time ago. What the world needs is a full-blown manifestation of a spirit-filled, fire-breathing church. And so there's more than just a diploma and congratulations for getting information today. There's a laying on of hands and there's an impartation. There's a clothing of the Spirit of God to stir up the Word of God that is in these hearts that they would move in power and authority and manifest the purposes of God. Can I get an amen? I'm going to get all Pentecostal on you in a minute, I tell you. All right. You see that? Do you see that? This is not enough to thoroughly know the Word of God. You must be flooded with the Spirit of God. Couple more scriptures. John 16, verse 13. He said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. This is Jesus talking to them, talking in the upper room to his disciples. And he's saying, I'm going away, and it is better for you that I go away. Because when I go away, he will come. He will come. Who is he? He is the Spirit of truth. And we're going to talk about him next week. We're going to get you vitally acquainted with who he is. I want you to have a personal, living, abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is your best friend. He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into... Hello. Wow. Stop a second. You're going to send someone just like you, a comforter just like you, where someone who walked and embodied all truth, he who walked with us, were local beside us, but you're going to send someone to us, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. He's going to come to us and not be with us, but in us, and he's going to reveal to us all truth. We know a group of people in London, Ontario, that the God who created all things with the power of his own word, we know a group of people that not only have a relationship with him, but the Holy Spirit of God is their best friend who lives and abides in them and is revealing to them all truth. How many think a part of all truth might be a cure for AIDS? How many think that knowing all truth might be a cure for poverty, a cure for social systems and structures that are not working? It might be a cure for political systems that are broken. It might have answers on how to bring together. It might be people walking in revelation that is out of this world that can come into this world and can convey the circumstances of this world and bring the powerful truth of God to bear that will bring peace and bring revelation. I don't want God to get me out of this mess. I want him to thrust me into this mess. And I want him to touch the things where there's pain and where there's inequity. And I want to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Wow. I mean, if you could pay for a course that would give you revelation on everything. I mean, open your minds to every detail. I mean, it doesn't say some truth. It says all truth. I mean, folks, I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. And it just plumb excites me. He will lead you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Hello, highly advantaged of God Almighty. What are you doing swimming in that swamp? You've been created for deep sea diving, for incredible revelation, for world-changing, epic episodes of goodness and glory. People all getting crazy in here, my God. You know, you leave God out of it and you tell people you're special and you have all kinds of desires. You be Meryl Streep at Columbia telling them that, you know, you don't have to settle for normal. You can recreate normal. This is your hour. And boy, manpower, willpower, isn't it powerful? We can get excited about that. But you tell people that God Almighty wants to put you on like a garment. He wants to take your mind, your heart, and all that you are, and he wants to pour through you wisdom from above that can change and shift the world. Well, you people are creepy. No, we're in our right mind. Sad thing is, the church hasn't been in its right mind. The church has been trying to entertain people and get along just like everybody else, just trying to fit in. If I wanted to be entertained, I'd go to Disneyland. The Spirit of Truth, it says, I will come to you. The Spirit of Truth will come to you. The same Holy Spirit that operated through Jesus, the same Holy Spirit who spoke through Jesus, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, that same Holy Spirit, Jesus did all that he did so you could be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and you could give the devil a nervous breakdown because there was one Jesus, but now there's millions of tongue-talking, fire-breathing Pentecostals in the earth bringing in the manifestation. Station the kingdom of God. And it's time we stop being a byword in the nations and we start being celebrated as the people that are making a difference. I'm glad that this community would not know what to do without Impact Church. I'm glad this community and the schools that are here would not know what to do without Impact Church. They could not, we would not have books in their libraries. They would not have smart boards in their classrooms. They would not be able to do and to minister to the kids the way they want without the partnership of these people saying, we are here to serve you. We are here to help you. What can we do? You know, churches should be the most. It says the mountain of the Lord's house shall be the greatest mountain, and it says and all nations will flow to it. The purpose of God is that the church of God be elevated and raised to a place of excellence, raised to a place where the whole world looks on and says, we are blessed because of you. So something's got to shift in a big way, and it's got to start in here and in here for it to manifest out there. All right, settle down, Pastor. My goodness. All right, real quick, John chapter 8, 31 and 32, just three little applications right out of this verse. If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, and I'll tell you, his word is not just letters on a page. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. If you abide in his word, his living revelational word, he says, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Listen, truth doesn't make you free. Knowledge of truth makes you free. A knowing, working relationship with truth makes you free. Three things, real quick, you ready? Truth is personal. Truth is, it says, Jesus came to manifest truth, to testify of truth, and we have been given the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is He. The Spirit of truth is a person. The Holy Ghost personally comes into our lives, and you can know truth, and truth is personal. You know what? I can have it, and you can have it. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's not like there's only enough to go around. It's not like I can get more than you. You know what? The same Spirit of truth operating in you is the same Spirit of truth operating in me. And we're all walking in full revelation of it. And He's no respecter of persons. He wants to pour it out on every single person. You could have the most amazing inventions coming up. You could be the one who has incredible ideas dropping through your head. You just need to talk to the Holy Ghost and say, boy, I could really use a good idea about this situation. And you know what? The Holy Ghost will make you look like a genius. Number two, the truth is knowable. You shall know the truth. The Word of God would never tell you to know something you couldn't know. God's not like that. He says the truth is personal, and He says, and you can know the truth. And number three, the truth is powerful because the truth makes you free. It's not a way to truth. It's not an opportunity to truth. It's not an invitation to truth. It is truth that when you get it, it radically works in your life and it makes you free from anything that would try to encroach on the revelation of the goodness of God in your life. The truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sickness and disease. Oh, come on. Give it a rest. Too late, I've seen it already. Too late, I've walked in it already. Too late, we had Pat testifying yesterday that he was dying with hepatitis B and hepatitis C. They told him, go get your house in order, you're done. And Pat looked at the doctor and he just blurted out, I am healed. And from that day forward, he was tested and he's never had a sign of it in his body ever since. And that's just yesterday's testimony. We have testimonies every single week of bodies healed, lives touched, people delivered and set free. Because you will know the truth and the truth will work in your life. And it'll manifest freedom from every work of the devil, from everything that is contrary to the Word of God in your life. The truth will make you free. So it's personal, personable, it's knowable, and it is powerful. All right. We're coming to a rapid conclusion. Who's ready? Charles Lindbergh, the fellow who first one who piloted solo across the Atlantic Ocean. Here's what Charles Lindbergh said. He said, spiritual truth is more important to a nation than the mortar in the city's walls. For when the actions of a people are undergirded by spiritual truths, there is safety. Where's the statesman like that today? What's the nonsense that we get fed these days? Truth, spiritual truth. You know, China, they thought they were well. They thought they were secure. They said, let's wall in the wonderful blessings we have. So they put in bricks and mortar, put it all around and protected it. The problem was, you know, a nation doesn't get beat up from enemies. It gets beat up from the lack of truth. It gets beat up from the lack of integrity. It gets beat up when there's inside of that culture, it's broken down. You see, because China was overrun by a guy, a gatekeeper who got bribed and he let a foreign army in. And they were overrun because there was not truth in people's inward parts. But see, we have, and He wants, truth in our inward parts. But more than just truth, more than just a Bible study, more than just cramming our heads full of theological issues and things which are wonderful, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. But even Jesus said, I open your mind to all the scriptures. But then He said, even with that kind of revelation, do not attempt to do a single thing without the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of truth. Anointing, clothing, and empowering your life. Amen. I want to do something real quick. Can you do something? Just everybody bow your heads right now. Bow your heads where you are right now. Nobody's looking around except me. Maybe a couple other people who I asked. But I'm going to do something really fast. Could you do that? You're here today. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. It says you can know Him. He is truth. He's knowable. And He's the person of God. And He wants to know you. And all of these wonderful blessings that I'm talking about, you can walk in them. You can walk in a revelation that will literally look you look like smarty pants all over the place. You can be advantaged. Not advantaged so you can be proud and full of yourself, but advantaged so that you can lay down your life and serve other people and minister to the needs of others so that you can esteem others better than yourself and just be someone who is well-respected because you're a giver of life. But maybe you don't know Him today. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. You've never been presented with Him in that way. But you don't want to leave here today without knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. So listen to me. That little pitter-patter you're feeling, that little flush that you're feeling, that's the Holy Spirit of God, the person of God, who's speaking to your life and saying, this is the real deal. And you're here today. and I want you to know me. And he's speaking to you. I'm going to do something very simply. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to say one, two, three, just so you know when. But when I say three, if you want to know him, would you just raise your hand when I say three? Are you ready? Very simply. One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Raise it up very, very high. Raise it up very high. Thank you. Anyone else right now? Right now. Just raise your hand up right now. Just pray with me now, would you? Would you all pray with me? Maybe you didn't put your hand up, and it's not about that, but I just want everybody to pray so that we're all praying with those who did, all right? Listen now. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to know that truth. I want to know that truth that makes me free. So come and be my Savior. Come and be my Lord. I'm free from sin. Your blood washes me, and I'm a child of God, welcomed by my Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to ask Michael if he would come up here. And, Michael, we're going to give you your diploma, but I'm going to ask you to announce and call the people up one at a time, and we're going to push this pulpit out of the way. We're going to do that right now because George is coming to help me right now. George. And Brian's going to help me. And we're going to push this pulpit out of the way. I'm going to take that from you. Thank you very much. Now, Michael has been the director of the Bible school for, wow, a long, long time. And has worked together with all these folks in their studies and also done all the studies himself. So he's also a graduate today as well. So we thank you, Michael. It's been a great ministry and a great service. We appreciate that. And I want to give you the honor of introducing each person and handing out their diplomas. And I'll get the blessing of handing you yours. So I know there's some with biblical study diplomas today, some with advanced study diplomas. And then they also have been granted a degree from Vision University in California, which is really, really wonderful. So give it up for Michael. Come on.
Thank you, guys. Before we start, I just want to say on behalf of Pastor Carl and Pastor Cheryl, on behalf of the International School of Ministry, the Vision School of Ministry, and the Impact Training College, I'd like to congratulate the 2013 graduates of the Bachelor's Program in Biblical Studies. You are a first of many. Bless you guys. You guys have been awesome. This has been a really good time. So this is no particular order other than alphabetical. So as you call your name, please come up. For our graduates of the 2013, Asafa Baru. I'm really sorry, Judy. I still can't say your last name. Judy, please come up. Elder Bill Hermiston. Sister Mamit, is it Kailu?
Perfect.
Brother David Riddles is not here today. He was trying to make it. He really did try, but blessings, everybody, for David Riddles. Sister Sheila Thomas. And Brother John Watt.
Finally, but not last. Are you ready, Dad? We want to honor Michael Matheson with his degree in biblical studies. Woo! Come on, stand up with me. Well, bless you guys. You're history makers. You're awesome in every way. And some of you may even look a little mature in life. But you know what I'm thrilled about is that you did this. That even, you know, even in the, you know, youth that you're experiencing right now, you've done that. But I want to put a demand on that. I want to see that bear fruit. I want you to dream dreams. I want you to expect great things. And I really want to see, as I've shared today, I want to see more than just the word that was imparted to you. And as I believe Jesus was there each and every time you met, as he was there opening your hearts and your minds and pouring revelation on you, as the Holy Spirit himself was there, the divine teacher, breaking the revelation and opening up, I pray that not just the Spirit of truth would be in you with knowledge, but upon you with power and authority and strength. So I pray not for just an impartation of biblical or theological knowledge, but I pray today for a rich impartation of the Holy Spirit and power in your life. To be beacons of truth, manifestations of truth, and people who really are dreaming new dreams and believing for great things, even in this next stage of your journey. So I'm going to ask our elders to come, our elders to just gather around you, and Pastor Cheryl to come and to gather around you. So if we got a few of our elders to just come on up with me, we're going to gather around you. I want you folks just to stretch out your hands as well, and we're just going to bless these folks and lay our hands on them. And we do believe in, as Hebrews says, the doctrine of laying on of hands. And as Jesus said, hands are for blessing and hands are for impartation. And so we want to bless and we want to stir up and we want to impart to these brothers and sisters. Amen? So come on, stretch out your hands now and let's just pray with them and for them. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for a class of history makers, a group of people who pioneered together this pathway, and I'm so very grateful for their passion and their diligence to pursue this with you. But Father, more than just that head knowledge, more than just a greater understanding of principles or of good advice, I thank you that first and foremost, they've been personally impacted by the good news of Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. And we thank you that, Lord, because you are our Lord and Savior and because you poured your blood on the mercy seat, your word says the Spirit answers to the blood. And I thank you for the rich, powerful anointing. I thank you that Jesus said, it's better that I go away. It's better because the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will be with you and upon you. So as their minds have been opened to a great disclosure of truth by you yourself, we ask you now that the promise of the Holy Spirit would be stirred up in their hearts and their lives. We pray for a rich impartation of the Spirit of truth, that they would be clearly walking with and hearing and expressing and demonstrating that they are hooked up with the person of truth. They are hooked up with God himself, revealing and manifesting his goodness, his knowledge, and his nature. And so, Father, we thank you for these pioneers. We thank you for these firebrands. We thank you for these that are going to manifest the depth of their study, but also manifest that this day you've come upon them with power. You've come upon them with fire. You've come upon them with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of truth. So we thank you for them. We celebrate with them. We just pray that you would richly bless them and cause them to go forward and do exploits. It says those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we loose them right now, Lord, into the fields of the earth to manifest your goodness, your grace, and your kingdom in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.